Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Chris Vola is a graduate of the Columbia University Master of Fine Arts program, author of a number of books, including I is for Illuminati. He has jumped deep into the conspiracy world with discoveries about how some theories may be entirely plausible. Chris, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us. Interesting times.
Great to be here, George. Big fan. Really excited to be here tonight.
How did you get involved in investigating conspiracies?
It's definitely not something that, it's a kind of a departure for me professionally. I've sort of specialized in fiction, and then I've actually written a couple cocktail recipe books. But for me, I think it started when I was 7 or 8 years old and X-Files came on. And I think, for me, that was the first sort of intro to this sort of this world of, secret government agencies, human-alien hybrids, abductions. And then I think, Ancient Aliens was a big one for me. The whole ancient astronaut theory, the lost civilization, things like Graham Hancock, conspiracies, I'm a big fan of pop culture, and,
sure.
I've always been interested in what's going on with pop culture, and, conspiracies have just gotten so big in the last few years that I kind of was, just curious to see what was out there, and that's kind of what brought me to writing the book.
Do you think social media, Chris, has fueled the conspiracy theories?
Oh, I think 100%. I think right now you're at a time where, misinformation is at an all-time high where, social media gives conspiracies this extremely in-your-face platform, and the willingness of influential people, actors, politicians, athletes on social media, to publicly support, conspiracy theories. Yeah, I think it's a huge part of it.
We're going to get into some of these conspiracy theories. I want to get your take on QAnon, too, which is a huge conspiracy, or it could be the real thing. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows with any of these, to be honest.
that's part of the problem with conspiracy theories, because as you said earlier, some of them could be real.
Yeah, and also anything might not be real.
Exactly. How does an individual know what to believe and what not to believe?
It's at this point, I think it's really difficult. I think you know, you can look at something scientifically, you know, whether or not you, and whether or not you believe in science or not. You know, it's hard. I mean, I don't know if there is an answer to that. I mean, I think you have to trust yourself and kind of take a look at both sides of things, you know, listen to different perspectives, try to, you know, have a level head. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it's difficult.
I mean, there are conspiracy theories in just about every area you look at. Mm-hmm. I think one of the first conspiracy theories was the JFK assassination. Back in 1963, where, you know, they didn't know who was involved, who were the players, was Lee Harvey Oswald by himself. And then we got into a few more and more and more. But as you said again, it has really exploded over the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. And I think, like you said, I mean, social media and just the willingness of people to promote these ideas that maybe before, you know, wouldn't have looked good for their brand or, you know, or whatever. But now it's sort of like, you know, anybody can pretty much say whatever they want. It's okay.
How did you start investigating for the book, Eye is for Illuminati? How'd you begin your work?
Well, you know, the book is in the form of, you know, your classic ABC book where, you know, each letter of the alphabet is focused on one conspiracy. You know, everything from UFOs and lizard people to flat Earth and the pyramids. And I guess for me, I thought it was just a really interesting format. You know, I'd always been a fan of, like, Dr. Seuss books or whatever when I was a kid, and I just thought that it would be an interesting way for me to sort of find out about stuff that I didn't know. You know, 26 conspiracies, you know, to start with is quite a bit, and, you know, I just thought it was an interesting format to sort of start investigating things.
I mean, there are people who actually believe the Earth is flat. You know, I don't want to put them down, but they believe this.
So that to me is one where, you know, I don't like to say that I believe in anything, because I think when you say you believe in something, you're automatically discounting the possibility of other things. But that to me is one that I really have a hard time with, that one. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You can take a balloon and send it up into the sky, you know, with a camera and see the curvature of the Earth, you know.
We see the pictures from astronauts that are floating around in space.
You know, the whole thing with flat earthers is that they believe that everything that NASA did is a lie, that everything, you know, everything with space, like, you know, the whole idea is that we can't go into space with a flat Earth. So you're telling me that, you know, these trillions and trillions of dollars, you know, were all for this hoax. I don't buy it.
What did you uncover in your research that you didn't know before about some conspiracy theories?
You know, I there's one that to me was actually really fascinating, was that the idea that there might have been this ancient race of giants whose existence was sort of covered up in the early, you know, 19th and early 20th centuries by the Smithsonian. There's a lot of articles, actually, you can look them up, that, you know, you can go to the archives, and a lot of newspaper articles where people would find these sort of 9, 10, 11-foot tall skeletons all throughout North America, you know, many of them with red hair, a lot of times surrounded by, you know, intricate artifacts, really pure copper jewelry. It just seemed like it was this sort of ancient culture that was far more advanced than any sort of, like, the Native Americans who were around at the time. And, you know, these articles there's hundreds of them. And it's really fascinating that, you know, that was something that was sort of part of the cultural consciousness that I had no idea about.
I had interviewed a pilot who apparently flew a giant out of Afghanistan, a dead one.
Okay.
He attacked some U.S. troops in a cave. But they got him, and they flew him out.
I've heard that story. Yeah, that is fascinating for sure.
It really is. Let me ask you about the title of the book. Eye is for Illuminati. How did you come up with that title, and why did you gear in on the Illuminati?
Yeah, sure. Well, it was originally going to be called A is for Aliens, actually. However, my publisher was putting out a book about UFOs, so they thought it would be a little too similar. So I chose Illuminati, one, because I think it's a term that most people in the mainstream, you know, will be familiar with, even if they think it's something that has to do with, like, you know, Jay-Z or Angelina Jolie or something like that. But, you know, I think one of the things that make conspiracy so compelling for a lot of people is that there's this clear narrative of good versus evil. You know, there's this, there's an entity that's doing something to someone. Someone is controlling someone, someone is hiding something, someone is harming someone. And when you're talking about the Illuminati, you're really talking about, you know, that ultimate evil, the secret group that rules the world, you know, the people that are pulling the strings behind the scenes, you know, whether that's the deep state, the reptilians, the Freemasons, you know, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, you know, whoever that is. I think it's the Illuminati, I think, for me, has become this sort of blanket term to describe the idea that there is this all-encompassing, powerful evil, which I think is prevalent in a lot of the conspiracies in the book. And I just feel like that term sort of has this sort of pop culture resonance, I should say.
Yeah, and I think the Illuminati probably has teeth. I think it's the real deal. It's out there.
I agree. I mean, I think it's. I think there is a very small group of people that pretty much control everything, you know.
Were there some things you thought that were real and then realized after doing the work for the book they weren't?
You know, one of those for me, I mean, kind of backpacking on the, or piggybacking on the flat earth, is the hollow earth.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, you know, I was always interested in it because, you know, as a Catholic boy, of course, you know, hell, the idea of all these different cultures with, you know, mythologies about the underworld. But to me, I really didn't see a ton of evidence for that. I mean, you have a few sort of dubious accounts of, like, Admiral Richard Byrd flying over the North Pole and seeing, you know, woolly mammoths and, you know,
dinosaurs alien, and people, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, but I really think, you know, looking at the science, again, if you believe mainstream science, I just think that the studies that have been done on earthquakes and volcanoes are, you know, to me are pretty convincing, you know, that there probably is this liquid outer core and, you know, a solid inner core.
How'd you pick the conspiracy theories for the book?
Well, I wanted to do a kind of a wide range because for me, like, I kind of look at this book as sort of like conspiracy 101, where I'm providing, you know, a lighthearted but also, you know, somewhat in-depth exploration of, you know, the basics of conspiracy theories. And I wanted, you know, this to be for people who are not necessarily the, you know, hardcore sort of, you know, deep divers that, you know, for someone who might be interested in, you know, what's out there. So I wanted a wide range. You know, I wanted things that were, you know, that had to do with maybe ancient times or, you know, your classic sort of like moon landings, JFK, to, you know, government stuff, you know, just to try to get as big of a range as possible in, you know, in a relatively small space.
Chris, is there a danger in believing every conspiracy theory one hears?
Well, I think that's QAnon, to be honest. I mean, I think QAnon at this point is basically everything is a conspiracy.
Everything is. Everything.
And I think we've seen that, you know, that does have consequences. I mean, you know, you see some of the violence that has happened because of it. And, you know, I think it's important that to really take a step back and really question yourself, too, when you're doing this research.
Well, that, you know, I was going to ask you that. What does this tell you about the psyche of people who believe in all kinds of conspiracy theories? All kinds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think that, again, you know, we're living in this time where, you know, there's a constant barrage of misinformation, you know, the mistrust of authority, you know, the feeling of powerlessness, you know, in the face of, like, environmental disasters, social and racial division. And I think that, you know, people really just want something to believe in. And, you know, they want to be part of a community. They want to be part, again, of, like, a good versus evil narrative. And I think that that's, you know, it's really compelling. And, you know, even if that might be something that could be harmful, I think it's really compelling for a lot of people.
I've got a friend of mine, Chris, and he's a great guy, but he believes every conspiracy theory that he gets, and he sends me one every day, and he'll text it to me, and I'll go, no,
yeah.
No. I mean, they're just wild, but, I mean, he literally believes everything, and he had an interesting upbringing because he was in a cult. He was a Moonie. In his teenage years, And, I mean, they told him when to eat, when to sleep, what to do. And I think that has a lot to do with where he is today.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak to that that mentality, but I can see where that would be something that, you know, yeah.
Our special guest is Chris Vola. He is writing the book, I is for Illuminati. Where do people get the book, Chris?
You know, anywhere books are sold, it's on, you know, it's on Amazon, it's on the HarperCollins website, you know, Barnes & Noble, anywhere. It's available in print, digital, and audiobook.
We'll take your calls next hour with Chris, and maybe you can share your own conspiracy theory with us and tell us what you believe and what you don't believe. But there is a basis of fact behind some of them. So here's the big question. Why are they referred to as conspiracy theories when they're real?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think there was this whole idea, you know, when conspiracy started, it was sort of, you know, I think it was a lot of times the government was maybe hiding something, and you know, that has turned out to be real, like sort of like UFOs, you know, where in the last year the Pentagon has sort of confirmed that UFOs are real, but, you know,
whatever they may be.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? But it was always just the idea that it was this sort of, like, I don't know, this negative connotation, and yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Has this changed your belief system?
You know, I think just seeing all the stuff that's out there, yeah, I mean, I think I'm definitely more open to a lot of things where, you know, something like, you know, Denver Airport, where there's a lot of weird stuff going on that I would have said, you know, no way that this could be a sort of, you know, bunker system for the global elite. But now, you know, looking at that, I mean, yeah, you know, it could be.
I'm in Denver every month with our Beyond Belief TV shows, and it is a strange airport. It's huge. And they're always doing construction inside of it. But, I mean, they've got the weirdest artwork and statues that you can imagine. And then, you know, and you wonder, what's going on underneath me here? Do they, you know, do they have troops down here? Is there something? I always had heard the conspiracy theory that it was the place for the government to go in the event something happened to Washington, D.C. Have you heard that?
Yeah, and actually, you know, it's really interesting. You know, in addition to all the crazy murals, you know, there's children huddled around burning buildings, you know, Nazi soldiers, biological warfare. There's a capstone that is placed in the airport to commemorate its dedication, which features Masonic symbols, as well as a list of the airport's benefactors, which is, there's something called the New World Airport Commission on it, which, as far as anyone can tell, doesn't actually exist, you know, and maybe a reference to the New World Order, which is, you know, this cabal that's linked to the Illuminati. So maybe it's, you know, something, you know, maybe they're going to orchestrate some worldwide catastrophe, and then, you know, the Illuminati is going to go there.
Chris, who is more apt to believe in a conspiracy theory in terms of male, female, and age group?
You know, I think age group, it's pretty open. I mean, I mean, personally, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, an expert on this kind of stuff, but just in my own personal experience, I've met people of all ages that are into this stuff. I would say mostly males that I would say are really into it, but you know, I have a lot of female friends that are also heavily involved. So I think it really at this point sort of transcends age and gender.
Would you say that the theory that Elvis was alive when he had died was a conspiracy theory?
You know, that's one that I have not really looked into that much. Again, I'd say anything's possible, but yeah, that's one that I really, you know, haven't done much.
See, what they do is they toss in a couple things that just sound so real, so possible, it makes you question maybe the whole thing is real. You know, when they say things like Elvis was tired of his life, he didn't want the publicity, he just wanted to be quiet and alone, and the only way he could get that way was to fake his death. Or that, you know, the CIA or the government was after him or some organization because he was involved with them. and that he needed to fall off the planet, and this was a way to do that too. Just enough for you to go, hey, that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, on a similar note, you know, somebody like Tupac, you know, same thing, you know, involved in this sort of East Coast, West Coast, you know.
Gang stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, maybe he wanted to escape that, and, you know, get out of the limelight. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, that, those are the kinds of ones that are very believable, I think, for sure.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.